Pepe's.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
What a surprise. We're going to start hour two of the El Paso History Show with El Paso History Moment, written and produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Did I say that fast enough?
I think so.
Okay, but that's you doing your thing here.
Faster.
And guess what you did today? It's about the firefighters of El Paso actually fighting in 1883.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. In 1883, El Paso's small but ever-ready fire department received its first hook and ladder wagon and two-wheel hose cart. But there's a problem. The carts are so heavy that by the time the firemen pull the equipment to the scene of the fire, the men are too exhausted to fight the fire effectively. So, the city comes up with a plan. When the fire alarm sounds, the first driver with horses to arrive at the firehouse to pull the equipment will be paid $3 to $5 per fire. But the response was so great that the horse drivers break into fistfights over who arrived first. Therefore, no one responds to the fire.
More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
We got some smiles in the room out of that one.
Yeah.
Not sure they would appreciate that now. But
what? What was the date I said on that one?
83.
You're correct.
It's off on the date on that.
No. The first information is true. We did get the apparatus in February of 1883. They started offering the $3 or $5. I think that was 85.
Oh, okay.
So they for a year or two, they were pulling...
The
men were pulling it.
Get up a little closer than them, Mike.
You bet. There was a... I got to take the things off.
Your headphones.
Yeah, I was too loud in my own ears.
Yes.
Okay.
But there's a volume control down there, too.
No, but I'm sharing.
It kills pillows.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'll just take them off. So, when we first got these apparatus, they had a spool of rope under each one of them. And these were really small apparatus. There's very little to them, and they still weighed over 1,000 pounds with their equipment on it.
Was it full of water?
No, there's no water in them.
It was just a pumper.
So, well, there was no pumper. What they had was a two-wheeled hose cart. So they wrapped up hose around a big reel, and then it had... It looked a little bit like a rickshaw.
Yeah.
But it was hose wrapped around this thing, and then it had a spool of rope underneath it that came out, and they unwound it, and they put about a dozen men out there to pull the rig in front, and then it had a handle out in front where two guys would steer from there, and then a few more guys would get in the back and push.
Oh.
So they just had guys all over. Yeah. And but these things were really tough to get through the sandy streets, and so they did. They started getting horses to take them. Now, it may sound like $3 or $5 isn't a whole lot of money, but I went and looked it up. And it really depends on whether or not you're calculating earnings or commodities or what have you. But the best estimate I came up with is that the $3 then for that service would have been equivalent to about $275, and then the $5 would be like 300 and something.
Yes, today.
Thus the fist fights.
And they did. Now, I never heard any story about them not getting to the fire. So if you have good evidence of that, I'd like to collect
it. It'll go in the book.
Yes,
if they did
would.
Get into fist fires, though, thinking how fast buildings did burn back then.
Right.
I mean, it was like tinder.
Well, this is something that is produced for the El Paso History Alliance on Facebook. They got 45,000 followers over
there. Oh, I know.
And you can call Bernie for more info.
You can call Bernie at 915-581-7920. You can talk to him about history or things that are going on, or he can connect you with people like the people at the fire department if you've got fire history or whatever, which we do a lot of. And also we got to mention great people like
Barbara Givenbeny, who manages the Remember in El Paso When Facebook page, which is a wonderful repository of pictures and history and everything. And she's got a great team over there that help her out. And she's always looking for more volunteers to help her with
that. She's getting
that.
More people. And then one of the administrators she wants us to mention today is Ken Weiss.
Yes.
And so they got a lot of people. And Remember in El Paso When is a fabulous resource if you're on Facebook and want to go find some old pictures. And speaking of Facebook and old pictures, we put one up here that basically led the parade. It ended up 14,000 people looking at it. What is this building on Facebook? We've got fire trucks all across the front of it. What building is that? Anybody?
That's Central, the old
Central Headquarters.
Central Headquarters. Right in the gizmo there, Pilo. Yeah.
That's the headquarters downtown, and they built the new one right next door.
Well, I think it's under construction in the back.
Oh, okay.
And Mike, you took the picture.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about it.
I was a district chief at Central at the time. That would have been between 1975 and 1978.
It says somewhere like 80, circa kind of 80.
Right.
Well, that's on Facebook now, and thank you for your contribution. Make sure you get a copy. You have the original.
Yes, I
do. Make sure that goes near his book, okay, so he can scan it. And that's what he's doing. If you have pictures, you're going to scan them here. And basically what Chris is doing is scanning the pictures and giving them back to you, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, if that's how you get
I'll make an appointment with anyone who's got an image. I guess the best thing they can do is once we make contact, they can just text me a quick shot of it so we can see, like, if
what
it's something
it?
That I need to get right away or what have you. But I can meet with them, scan it on the spot, and hand it right back to them.
And that phone number, 915?
915-538-8222.
That's your cell.
That is.
538-8222.
Yes, sir.
Okay, get in the book. Okay, we have callers now lining up on the phone. Maybe we should talk to a couple of them. One's named Bobby. Bobby, got you on the radio. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have a question.
Sure.
As a dog lover, I always associate Dalmatians with firemen. And my question is, where did that tradition come from of having the Dalmatians, the dogs with the black spots?
It may not be true that Pilo started it, but he has an answer.
Well, I don't know where they started, but I do know that I tried to get one at my fire station. It was beautiful dog. And I went to Fire Chief Coleman, and he turned me down. So we never got a dog in the El Paso Fire Department.
That's a shame.
Apparently, they're not allowed. Are they allowed?
Not now.
Not now, okay.
No, they went to bulldogs instead.
Floyd has a thought here. Go ahead.
But Jackson, yeah. I have another question.
Sure.
Wouldn't it be interesting for you to research that question to include in your book? Because I know that people, like myself, first thing that's going to come to their mind is, where's the Dalmatian?
Okay, well, and I don't want to cut Floyd off here. He's got some information about some of our previous mascots. We did have dozens of mascots. We had a beer-drinking mule.
Oh, my God.
We had...
how can you share that duty?
Oh, man. This mule would go around to the different bars. This is back in the 1890s.
That could get expensive.
And he would go in the back door, and he would sing... Until they gave him a gallon of beer, and he would drink a gallon of beer, and then he'd go around town, essentially staggering all over town and falling off the sidewalks and stuff. We had a monkey, we had goldfish, alligators, a mountain lion.
What was the one in Sunset Heights? We said that out before the break. There was one of a bulldog.
Oh yeah, bulldog. Trouble the Bulldog, which was Sunset Heights. Mascot.
All right, Bobby,
and it was somebody. It was a chief's pet, his son's pet.
Bobby has stirred us up on this. Floyd has a thought.
To answer your question about the Dalmatians, they were also referred to as carriage dogs. The reason is they were very good with horses, and in the old days when people rode around in carriages, dogs would come out from anywhere and chase the horses and nip at their heels, and I'm sure there were a lot of runaways at that time. But Dalmatians were very, very good with horses, and a lot of times they just trotted alongside the carriage and the horse, and if a dog came out from somewhere, he would take off and chase them away.
There's a thought.
So that's how Dalmatians actually became affiliated with the fire service.
There's the official answer, Bobby. It's going to go in the book, right?
That's it.
There you go.
Okay.
That makes sense, doesn't it? Thanks for calling.
Bye.
You take her easy. Robert's on the phone. Robert's on the radio. Hey, Robert.
Is there, they used to have, like little boxes at, almost in every other corner. I grew up and down Alameda, and then if you turn the knob, the fire department would show up.
Oh,
fire boxes. Fire boxes.
Yes, I didn't know about that when we were kids. So we wouldn't turn and all of a sudden we got fire engines.
Everybody's got cell phones now, right?
Yeah, and that's about my history with the fire department. I'm in my middle 60s now, but I'll never forget that event.
Wow.
Thank you.
I have a story.
All right, Mike's got an answer.
When I retired, they gave me one of the fire alarm boxes.
Oh.
And it was one that I had responded to the most on fire alarms.
Oh, wow.
False alarm.
Oh.
And it was the one at El Paso and San Antonio. I have that fire alarm box.
That's at the main intersection of downtown Old El Paso. And so is that going to go in a museum someday, maybe?
Well, I guess so.
Maybe, yeah. I know a guy who's got a fire plug, a bunch of fire plugs.
Oh, yeah, those things are heavy.
Well, it took him a while to get those, I think, but he's got at least one of them I know about. All right, talking about the history of the El Paso Fire Department, it could go almost anywhere. I'm just curious. We talked about the early days and the funky equipment and how manual it was. We've talked about the discrimination that is now basically settled, as best we can tell, but it was a real problem for a long time. What other issues over time have changed? Was there any major technological change? Because one of the problems we mentioned earlier was that you had to have fire trucks with long ladders when you got taller buildings. The thing about that is, though, the taller buildings in downtown El Paso, the fire pressure for the hoses still made it to the top, didn't it? Because of Sunset Heights?
Well,
no. Oh, no, it didn't.
Yeah, it depends on which newspaper article you're reading and what time.
I see.
But essentially when Sylvester Watts built his water distribution system, at first everyone said, oh, it's great, fantastic. But it really wasn't all that great. They just wanted to believe it was. They did some, we've got the testing, all the results of the testing that they did in February or January of 1883. But what happened was, they leaked all the time. They weren't cast iron. They were made out of rolled galvanized steel, and they leaked a lot. And the editor of the Lone Star, Newman, boy, he used to give them so much trouble. He called it the stovepipes, stovepipe waterworks. And what happened was we only had the pressure from the water tank, and it would go over a two-story building, and you could get up to a three-story building. When we started getting some three- and four-story buildings, and it just didn't make it. And in fact, we lost a couple buildings. The biggest loss was the Grand Central Hotel, and it was the pride of the Southwest.
Another one was the Sheldon Hotel.
That was years later.
Right.
And that was for really different reasons. But the Grand Central was lost because they could not put water on the fourth floor.
All right.
And so right after that, we got our first steamer.
And that was a pumper.
And a steamer actually was a steam-powered pumping engine, and that was.
Did you have to keep
one.
The fire burning in that thing all the time?
Absolutely. When they first got them, they just, it started out cold, and it took, 10-15 minutes to get a stream of water going.
Fire's gone. Fire's
out.
But, yeah.
But soon, you're talking about technological advances, they figured out how to make a electric heater that would heat up the water and keep it hot at the station so that when you got the fire, when the call came in, the fire was already, the wood was already set in the firebox, so they light it up, get the horses and go, and they get out of the station. They train these horses to jump up there in place and be ready to have a harness drop down on them, and they could get out of the station in under a minute.
But they didn't have to come down the pole. That's a good thing. No, I know, of course not. But let me ask you another thing about stuff in the history of El Paso. What El Paso mayor was killed in a fire in El Paso?
Mayor Robinson.
Robinson.
Yeah.
What happened?
Anybody.
I mean, he's writing the book, so we're all deferring to him.
Anybody want to answer it?
But the point was, a wall collapsed on the guy, right?
Yes, sir.
This was a Kalischer's dry goods store, 1910. I believe it was at Texas and...
somewhere
Texas and Stanton. Somewhere in that area.
Downtown, yeah.
there were the fire started about 2 a.m. and it was August of 1910, and the fire burned all night. It was a three-story building. The first floor had the Kalischer's dry goods store, the American Bank, and another commercial enterprise. And the upper floors had rooms, rooming houses, lodges, things like that. They don't know how the fire started. Back in those days, they used to say that every fire started from crossed wires, you know, electrical short.
Yeah, blame those guys.
And there's also some belief that someone left a cigar in place in the basement.
But somehow the mayor got involved. Was he a firefighter?
No, he wasn't. Uh-huh. The fire burned all night, and the firemen were there all night fighting the fire. And by after the mayor got out of church, him and his family, as well as many El Pasoans, walked down there to see the fire. And the second and third floor had already collapsed, too. So what you've got basically was a shell still standing. And the mayor noticed that the wall that was still standing on Texas Street side seemed to be wavering a bit. So first he went over and told the fire chief, and the fire chief says, well, I've been keeping the men away from there. But then he went over and to where some firemen, and you know, firemen are firemen. They saw a little bit fire. They're going to go in there again. So there was a group of firemen putting water on the fire, and he went over there to talk to them. And about that time, the wall came down
on him.
Wow. Two of the men hugged the wall of the building and escaped with no injuries. But the mayor and fireman Todd Ware, fireman Sullivan, and there was one other fireman, ran towards the street and didn't make it.
And the top of the wall hit him, I guess.
The wall came down and crushed him.
So three people died versus
two. There were two people died. The two others were injured severely, but got over it. But the mayor died, and fireman Ware died.
Oh, okay.
Well, I noticed that was a big point in the history of the fire department. It had to be mentioned.
Well, that was the first death.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on here, take a break here, and do trivia. Are you ready for trivia?
Yes, we're ready for
what
trivia.
What do you got in the way of trivia?
Well, this time we've got the questions.
Is Shelly ready for trivia? Shelly's ready for trivia.
Shelly's ready.
Just call Shelly to hassle her.
That's right.
No, don't.
Okay. Our first question is, Sunset Heights Fire Department had a bulldog for a mascot. What was that dog's name?
Oh, we just said that nine times.
Several times.
Another question?
And what El Paso mayor was killed due to a fire in El Paso?
I've heard of that recently,
yes,
as a matter of fact.
Yes,
so maybe
did.
You can remember it. Throw another one. We covered a bunch of stuff here, didn't we?
Well, I don't have the other one. Those are the ones I had.
Oh, that's enough for now.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's a trivia business here?
That's a trivia business.
What mayor
was
died?
What was the mascot for, or the dog? Name at the Sunset Heights Fire Department, and what mayor was killed due to a fire in El Paso?
We'll give you stuff if you answer
that
on the
phone.
That's
right. We'll give you Pepe's or an El Paso Gold DVD.
And they call us?
544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Never saw it as a problem when I was younger. Two cigarettes, three cigarettes. It wasn't a habit. My mom, she was always like, you need to do something. You need to get rid of them. That was her thing. As time went on and smoking started falling out of fashion in society and rules started changing, gave the Juul a real chance and found out I liked it, found out it really works. The switch was easy. It was a no-brainer, really. But now that I look at people who smoke, I'm like, dude, really? You still doing that? You know, there's an alternative to that, right? You don't have to do that. The person that I'd like to think that I am is because of her. This came from her, really.
Patrick made the switch December 2016. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's Juul.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to pee. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. To celebrate, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling. Get P3 Advanced free. Call 1-800-257-5251. 1-800-257-5251. 1-800-257-5251.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
We got trivia on the brain. We got three phone callers calling in right now. The lines are full. And we'll get to that in a second. We got to tell you what's going on next week here on the radio show. We've got UTEP Centennial Museum. They have a new exhibit on historic downtown El Paso neighborhoods. And we're going to have an explanation by Museum Director Daniel Carey Whalen, Dr. PhD, dude to you. No, he's not. Actually, Romo was a PhD, and he'll be in here. Dr. David Romo is coming in as well, talking about the downtown El Paso in those exhibits. January 19th, the Sanchez crowd rolls in here with Pirates in the Desert.
That's right.
That's a new book down there from old stories that Sam has been cooking up. And so the kids got together and said, hey, Dad, we're going to make a book out of you. Actually, his work. And so he's also got some interesting drawings. And he, in the process, do you know what they found out in the shed? An original Jose Cisneros drawing that was in the shed in the storeroom. And Sam said, just a print. And Ray took it and had it examined. No, that's an original. Jeez. So anyway, we'll talk about all that stuff next. And George Sanchez is coming in along with Ray himself and Sam, the author. So there's that. Cool. January 26th, McGoffin on the topic coming in here. Talk about all kinds of things. What do you got?
I have an interesting thing coming out. There is going to be an auction in Scottsdale, Arizona, which you can participate via the internet at eventbrite.com, and it's the Bobby McCubbin collection. Bobby McCubbin is part owner of True West magazine, and Bobby used to live in El Paso, and he has an extensive Old West collection of many items from El Paso.
He's selling all of it or some of it?
I'm not sure exactly how much. I'm going to go online when it gets available, and this is going to be January 25th to the 26th in Mesa, Arizona. Excuse me, it's Mesa, Arizona. And a lot of people that are Old West aficionados know about this, and it's going to be really crazy. But there's a lot of Old West memorabilia that's going to be in this collection. Billy the Kid's knife, for one thing, is going to be in this.
Wow.
And there's going to be hardened stuff. There's going to be
a phone number out there or an email.
I don't have an email or anything, but go to the website at eventbrite.com.
Oh, Eventflight?
Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E. Whoops, I just lost it. And that's going to be the McCubbin Collection. If you do a Google search for Eventbrite, you can find it through there. But I'll put it more once I
buy
learn
some,
it.
You're going to buy some stuff, aren't
me,
you?
I can't afford this kind of stuff. But I'm going to go look at it and drool. Bernie's going to be drooling, too. But it should be very interesting.
Okay, there's that. Oh, you got Paula, David, and Emma on the phone here. Shall we go in there? What's the question? You have a trivia question?
Oh, the trivia question. Let's get back to that. Oh, okay. The question was, Sunset Heights Fire Department had a bulldog for a mascot. What was that dog's name?
Question number two.
Was what El Paso mayor was killed due to a fire in El Paso?
We're giving this stuff away because they know these.
Yeah, we were just talking about
this. Oh, you got your Pepe's one for the first guy. And whoever wants it, some DVDs. Let's go to Paula. Paula, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you all, too.
Morning, Paula. Okay, which question were you able to answer?
I think I can answer the first one with the bulldog. I believe his name was Trouble.
There you go. Yeah, he was the guardian. Also, he was also the guardian for the Silk Stocking Fire Brigade.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Whatever that was.
That was their nickname.
Okay.
So you won. So now do you have a choice of Pepe's or an El Paso Gold DVD?
The El Paso Gold DVD. I wanted to share it with our family in Missouri and Iowa.
From Missouri.
Fair enough.
Okay.
We're going to put you on hold. Shelley will tell you how to.
She's going to go show them.
Show them in Missouri.
That's right.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for being involved today. Can you hold for a second?
Sure.
Shelley will come on and tell you how to pick that up. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
David is now on the radio. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, David. Okay, the second question we have available is, what El Paso mayor was killed due to a fire in El Paso? Because the first one was answered.
Roberts?
No.
No, it was not Roberts. You want to take another shot at that?
What?
Robertson?
How close was he?
What was that?
Got the R.
Robertson?
Right.
Close. We just had a new city council, or no, commissioner just
county
elected.
Commissioner named
county commissioner up in Northeast.
Robinson. Should we give it
Robinson.
To him? I mean, come on. He got
there we
calls.
Go, Robinson. Okay, there you go.
And
I was trying to give him a hint and make him work out.
Caller three, don't go away. We still have a prize for you. Okay, David, you got yourself a DVD. He didn't take the Pepe. Pepe's is available or DVD.
I'll take Pepe's.
There you go. All right, Shelley got in the line three is a David with a coupon interest. Okay, David, thanks for playing.
Thank you. Stay on the line.
Hold on. Yeah. Okay, we got one more call here, and that would be Emma on two. Emma, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I thought it was Robinson.
However, since Robinson. It's already been answered, you're on the phone. Make up a question for us, and we will then give you a prize anyway.
A question. Golly. Oh, golly. When was the San Jacinto, the alligator park starting?
I do know the answer to that.
Oh, we have an answer here. Okay.
In 1883, they built, they converted the land into the park and had Satterthwaite, who was a land developer. He was in charge of essentially landscaping the park.
Okay.
We have a photograph of the fire department in front of the gazebo that they had just completed in May of 1883. And this is July 4th, 1883, and you can see the fountain behind the firefighters. And so I would say at that point is the beginning of that. They don't think they had alligators in that at that time.
No, they didn't. But Emma, is that good enough for you?
Right. We don't have them anymore because I haven't gone downtown. Do we still have that?
I was down there last night. The park is there. The alligators are there, but they all turned into plastic.
Yeah, fiberglass.
So they're.
I know. I know the alligators ended up in the El Paso Zoo. They're still alive.
Yeah, they put them in the zoo. Well, they actually brought them back for a while, and they thought that was a bad idea because they were getting abused. All right, Emma, we got yourself a prize here. Hold on.
Thanks for listening.
And what you get is the DVD. Shelley will tell you. Line three, David gets a certificate, and line two gets a DVD. So you'll figure that out in there, Shelley. I know you can handle it. No, maybe not. No, I'm just kidding. She's in there yelling at me already. Either way, everybody going to Pepe's today who can.
That's right.
And
I'll be there later.
You'll roll in there. Bernie's going to be there. We've got to talk about Bernie coming up soon because Bernie's about to get back on TV.
Yes, he is.
We've been doing some TV reports
running
again.
Running him out there filming
the El Paso History TV that we're doing on ABC7. We've been allowed the privilege of putting history news pieces together like Leon Metz used to do on TV. Mm. We're doing those now, and they're running on ABC7. We ran four of them in November, and we're going to run another four of them coming up probably in about 3 weeks. So I got to hurry up and edit those things. But that's what we're doing now with Bernie, and so it's El Paso History TV. And if you want to see what we've done already, they're on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com and load in the channel El Paso History TV, and you will see these things that we're beginning to put together on El Paso history. And one reason we're doing this is because no one in El Paso else is teaching you history on a regular basis unless you go to a private school. I'm kidding you not. St. Clements, those kids all know the history of El Paso. They took our DVDs. That's how I know they know. But everybody else in Texas learns about the San Jacinto battle, and nothing happened in El Paso, so we'll have to fix that. All right, moving on to another. Sergio, are you ready for another break in there? I think he's ready for another break. You know,
I know Sherry is. Shelley is.
Shelley? No, Shelley's going to kill both of us one at a time, okay? But in the meantime, take a break here. Call us if you need to. Or look at Facebook.
I'm getting ready to put their picture up on Facebook now.
Paste them on the face here.
Paste them on the face. Fair enough.
And otherwise, we'll see you after the break. What's the phone number?
544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Bureaucrats from the Department of Health and Human Services are pushing a plan to rewrite Medicare Part B. It puts the health care for America's sickest seniors in serious jeopardy. The HHS plan, pulled from the Bernie Sanders healthcare playbook, would change Medicare to be more like socialized healthcare schemes in Europe, with government price fixing and access restrictions. If Congress doesn't block this dangerous plan, seniors' access to new treatments would be reduced, the search for new cures would be delayed, and American medical innovation would stall. Conservatives and seniors know that Senator John Cornyn will fight for free market solutions. Call Senator Cornyn today at 202-224-3121. Urge him to fight to reject price fixing in Medicare Part B. Learn more at rejectpricecontrols.org. Paid for by the American Conservative Union.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk. Hold
on. Hey, we're back on the radio. We got to talk to people about this week only. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This week only in El Paso, Inc.
Why a Louisiana car dealer is investing millions to bring Volvo back to El Paso.
Also in the Inc., the county is leading a new effort to bring more attention to El Paso's historic Mission Trail. Why officials say this time it will work.
The El Paso Humane Society's executive director has been indicted in Ohio for securities fraud
and theft. El Paso Business Journal, in as El Paso's Inc., whatever I said. El Paso's Business Journal is El Paso's Inc. Whatever. It's available for home and business delivery and online.
To read El Paso Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, find out the inside information on important stories that affect the borderland. Join host Saul Sines.
Sunday night right after ABC 7 at 10 on ABC 7 Extra.
A lot of phone calls still coming in here. We got stories to talk about. Also, there was one story. I was talking to Mike before we set the show up. And the idea of, well, do we have enough material to cover 2 hours? Yes, we do. But the other thing was, if we didn't have enough material, we could start asking you questions. Like, okay, Mike, you know, fire department history being what it is. You were in town when John F. Kennedy visited. Probably has nothing to do with the fire department. But we'll just ask you, what were your thoughts about when he visited? I think it was 63 early or 62 back in there. Mike DeRee, what was that thought you had?
Well, I was surprised. I was on duty at Central, and the Secret Service came by with the limousine of Kennedy's. And they said that they had a broken shock absorber on the car. So we had a welder there, and they asked us if we could weld that back. And we took the limousine to our shop, and one of our guys welded the shock absorber mount back on.
As though he could ride downtown in style?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, where were you when I remember I was sat on Montana Avenue at Alta Vista School by Copia, and here comes this limousine and this shining sunburned dude coming down the street. It's amazing. In your fixed limo.
Right. I was on duty at Central at the time.
Okay, but see, that's something you got to put in your book. It really wasn't a firefighter history, but it was.
Sure.
You know, I mean, we're talking to all these guys in here about the history of El Paso and the fire department, not in any particular order, but that was Chris Hogard, who is writing the book. You're still writing the book, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and we got Pilo Tejada here. Pilo, we haven't heard from you in a minute. We have to wake you up and ask you something. I'm not sure what yet. But also Floyd Carnes, and then, of course, Mike DeRee. Give a thought here, because I'm sort of like, anything you want to say about fire department history. Pilo, what's a story you think the public should know about the fire department that they may not know?
Well, what they don't know is that we just don't fight fires. We make a lot of EMS calls. We have saved a lot of lives. We used to have a Miss Flame contest, which is abandoned, which was really good PR for the fire department. I don't know what was that? When was it?
What was it?
It was a redhead lady.
Oh.
And they participated from UTEP and other department, other just citizens. And I thought that was great PR, but they quit that too. I don't know why.
So like a Sun Carnival princess, except this one's a fire department princess who has red hair.
Right.
A name, the flame.
I think the red hair was just some of the time. Most of them did not have red hair, but
yeah, but it was supposed to have been red hair. But he's correct.
That's unusual.
They didn't.
Well, yeah, they took the mascots out. You said there was a monkey at one point.
Yes, sir.
I guess he had to clean up a lot of the act of people who were free thinkers.
Right.
And also maybe had a little more free time than some people. I don't know.
The monkey was at Station 10 in the late 30s, maybe early 40s.
Where do you get a monkey in the desert?
Somebody, a guy named D.P. Lowry, gave this monkey to Captain Worley. Captain Worley took the monkey to Station 10, and they kept him tied up there at the back of the... Yeah, he was on a leash at the back of the bay, because, you know, monkeys don't behave very well.
Well, I would think the monkey would be one of the few entities that could actually go up the pole really easy.
Well, that might be.
Oh, yeah.
He would kind of be mean to the firefighters. He would bite at their heels if they got too close while they were back in the rig. So the guys didn't like the monkey, except for Captain Worley, who owned him. And so the guys would go outside the window, and they'd make faces and stuff and get the monkey to go crazy and start screaming. And then Captain Worley would run out there and be like, who's messing with the monkey? So the guys had to get out of there before they got caught. And then the guys, well, apparently the monkey took out his aggression on the goldfish that were in the pond in the back.
Oh, dear.
So one firefighter thought it'd be a good idea when he was on his vacation in Florida to bring back a baby alligator to put it in with the goldfish to mess with the monkey.
No, how'd that turn out?
Well, that was the end of that particular story in the newspaper. So,
oh dear,
I'm guessing that they had to get something that could eat an alligator after that, and you know
that wasn't one of the ones that ended up down in the pond in a
may have been.
This would be after.
Oh, okay. Firefighter history. Okay, what other stories do we have here? Because now is the equipment over time, I'm sure, has been either up to par, not up to par, but I'm sure at most times. The city goes and buys what you need, don't they?
Well, they're doing a pretty good job these days, and we have one of the most advanced department for equipment in the world. We do very well, and it's because of a continued effort. But I can say that it hasn't always been like that.
That's kind of what I'm wondering.
You bet. So going back way back when we started out with these carts that were pulled by hand, and then they were pulled by rented horses, basically. Then we started buying carts that had to be pulled by horses because the guys didn't want to pull them by hand anymore. So then when we got our first pumper, which was that steamer in 1890, what was that? 93, I think. It was 1891. I'm sorry.
Let's just say it was in the 1890s.
Right. Early 1890s.
Early 1890s.
So we got our horses at the same time. It was right after we got that you're right, it was the end of 1892.
We'll take a call or two if somebody wants to ask you guys a question, 544-5876. But I got one here. I've always been wondering, are there two water systems when you have a fire hydrant and you have a house?
No.
Are they served by the same spigot?
They are served by the same same water mains.
Well, so when you guys go out and dump all the water into the street from the fire hydrant, sometimes you have to drain the fire. I see guys doing that.
Yes, sir.
Why do you do that?
You have to change hose and keep it fresh, I guess you would call it, and that's why you see the fireman in the corner with the fire hydrant and the water running out. Is we keep the hose alive. A lot of times you don't have no fires for a long time, so you got to keep the hose healthy.
Get the hose wet and let it dry out again.
Yes, that's one of the things we do, and the other thing we do is we have to pressure test these hydrants, and we have to inspect them to make sure that they're functioning. And the water, public service board that's in charge of the water distribution system doesn't have enough employees to go and test every
hydrant.
So
you guys go do it.
So we do that service, yes, sir.
Interesting. I was always wondering about that. I figured, there must be two full systems. How'd they do that? I never knew. What else do we need to know about the fire department history? I mean, any other major instances that you guys have covered that you can think of? I mean, you have 4,000 documents going in your book. Pick a good one here.
We don't have 4,000 going in the book because it's only 300 pages.
It's your research material.
Floyd, can you think of anything that you think stands out? I mean, there are some amazing events. Oh, let me throw out this one. And the most Notorious, the event that I know of that happened in El Paso was the jail fire that took place in 1916.
Oh, that's
oh
right.
My gosh. Yeah.
Essentially what happened, for those listeners that aren't familiar, is the people in charge of the jail were delousing the prisoners by they had two tubs, the metal tubs down on the ground. One of them had a mixture of vinegar, kerosene, and possibly creosote, and this was to bathe the prisoners in. And then the tub that was right next to that had gasoline.
Oh, to rinse yourself off.
And
in
that
gasoline.
Was for the clothes. So they would dunk their clothes in the gasoline, and they would bathe. They had to stick their head down into the fluid and wash around on them. So about half of the men in the jail, so about more than a dozen men, had already gone through this process. And there was a half a dozen or so men that were in charge of the prisoners there. And these tubs, just in case the rest of it wasn't bad enough, were right at the base of the stairs going up to the upstairs prisoners and in between everybody else and the only unlocked door on the way out.
Oh.
So they warned everybody, don't smoke, don't light any matches, because apparently they allowed smoking and matches in the jail back then. They warned them a lot. And then these two guys came in after everyone else did, and they both at the same time lit up a match. Well, the one trustee that saw this take place, he ran over and said, put him out, yelling to put him out. So the first guy pinched out the match, and nothing happened. The second guy threw his down on the ground.
Oh.
And that's when the fire just ripped through the whole place. Some guys ran to the little shower they had there and turned on the water and stood under it. Other people ducked down. All the prisoners that had been bathed were very seriously injured.
That caused a riot.
Later, yes.
Yeah.
There were 17 prisoners that day that died either on the spot or on the way to the hospital, and another 10 men that died within a month or so after that. It was a big controversy. There was a lot of these guys were in there for vagrancy. There was a lot of Mexican nationals that were in the jail, and there was a lot of aggression, bad feelings on the south side.
Oh, it turned incredibly racial to a lot of people.
There was a guy that got shot driving in a car in Mexico in retaliation. I don't think he was seriously injured.
1916.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things about that fire, though, is that the mayor, I believe it was Mayor Lee at the time, he was up in Albuquerque on the day it happened, but he came back to El Paso that next day, and within a day or so, the newspaper quoted him as saying, this is a terrible, tragic accident. It's awful. But honestly, sometimes things can't be avoided, and every precaution was taken, and accidents just happen. Now, the interesting thing about this is 1 week before, in the city council, there was an ordinance passed that was called the Gasoline Ordinance, and it was all about the safe handling of gasoline and how it had to be kept in metal containers that were closed and all kinds of... They knew very well the dangers of gasoline.
Yeah.
They just didn't follow it, and
a
lot of
fire.
People really... Yeah, it was a tragic event.
Oh, my. All right.
Yeah.
We got another question, too, has come in. You do a lot of fire prevention work, I guess, in schools and stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
I mean, is that a big deal? I mean, is that part of the firefighter's world to go teaching firefighter technique, home safety issues, things
fire
like that?
Fire prevention. It's part of the fire prevention program. The fire marshal's office primarily is responsible for that, but the officers in the district in which the schools are used to be assigned the duty of going to the school and giving fire prevention talks. It was an interesting feature, but I think primarily now the fire marshal's office, the personnel of the fire marshal's office, do that job.
That's what they do. All right. We got the firefighters in here for a few more minutes. Today's the day that some of us are going to go to Pepe's. and have launch. Because
yeah, they're back open again.
It's definitely open. I talked to them yesterday. They said their very first day they were open, not too many people came because they didn't know it.
Yeah.
Today is the day.
They were back open on Thursday.
Yes, and so come with us today. We're going to have lunch out there. And the special again was
green enchilada.
Green chili chicken enchilada.
And so that means it's the special today, meaning it's $6. Life goes on here. Call us if you think you need to. Otherwise, we're going to wrap this up next segment.
That's right. Call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, Babbel.com, or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
The most common New Year's resolution? Yep, you guessed it, get in shape. So whether you're hitting the gym or doing it at home, make sure when the headphones go on, so does iHeartRadio. We've got your rock workout playlist, cardio playlist, plus health and fitness podcasts like 10% Happier, Train, and hundreds more. Stay focused on your goal and let iHeartRadio help you succeed in 2019. Your music, your stations, your podcasts, anytime, anywhere.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Got a lot of radio still to do today. And again, we're going to go to Pepe's out there. Anybody can make it. We can continue to talk stories. And right now we have on the phone here Emma. Emma, is this the same Emma? Are you back?
Yes, I call as many times as I can, but I don't pick up my videos on time. But that's all right. Anyway, I happen to be the leader here for Houston Park Association, the Little Houston Park in Montana.
Okay.
And I'm like your watchdog leader here. I used to go to all the old apartments we have around here, and I'm going to start doing them again. If the fire department is going to be checking that they have enough, the equipment to in case of fires, to the manager can, you know, at least try to, you know, do something about it. And then the other part is that we used to have good relationships with Juarez. And our old equipment, our old fire engines, we used to sell them to the city of Juarez. Are they going to be doing that again?
Are you selling your old fire equipment to Juarez?
Right. If you have enough inspections in the old apartments downtown.
You're talking about selling for a long time. They used to give Juarez equipment. And then we had a mayor that said that wasn't right, and they started selling it. They would sell it to different cities, and they would still, I think recently they gave something to Chihuahua, didn't they?
I don't know about that.
but they have given
that
away
was a practice at one time.
I think as a general rule, we have to go through, you know, good government practices and sell things for what.
Yeah, you had to change
sold.
A lot of rules over the time. I mean, you kicked the monkeys out, now you got to sell equipment. So I mean, you know, things change, right? They evolve, and so you're not doing what you used to do. The monkeys are gone. But that was weird you had a monkey. Anyway, no, I'm just curious about downtown building inspections. That's another issue that's come up because I think some of the fires that we have had could have been prevented. And I think some of the Billy Abraham buildings could have burned that didn't, thank God. But their inspections, I mean, you can do what you can do. Is it a matter of then somebody else doesn't enforce it?
Well, we have, with every business, we have a yearly inspection. And for them to maintain being allowed to conduct their business, they have to pass the inspections. But we work very hard with them to help them to pass, and we just can't. We have to enforce the laws. That being said, there's a lot, and sometimes it takes a while to get to the mall, and sometimes some of these guys, either by accident or by their own doing, manage to get through the cracks, and so. Our goal is to prevent fires. Our goal is to help people to be safe, and we do whatever we can with that. Some of these buildings, the way they're built, the circumstances of the electrical conditions that still exist, when they're not conducting business, there's not a lot we can do about those things.
Oh, yeah. But there's been some buildings toasted downtown that really shouldn't have happened. And I would bet it's not your fault. It's a matter of the owner and compliance. And so, you know, what do you do about that? Well, what else?
I think every city has the same problems. You know, I think it's not just particular to El Paso. I remember Los Angeles. We used to have the same issues in every city.
Yeah.
Well, what else can you say here, folks? Because the fire department history is going to be turned into a book. When's that going to come out?
Our goal is to get it to the printers by the end of this coming year. So
you mean 19, the one you're in now, or the 20?
19.
See,
we're in the incoming year.
Yeah, you are now in the incoming year. I had to think about that twice. Now, have you written the date wrong on a check yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, that option is still there.
And water checks?
Exactly.
Yeah, I just got their picture up on Facebook along with the phone number and the email for if anybody has pictures or stories or information that can get a hold of you through there. Pictures you want to scan maybe of your family members that were firemen.
Get a hold of
or pictures of stations or anything, you know, so get in touch with you.
Well, thank you guys for coming in here. We've had Floyd Carnes, Mike DeRee, Pilo Tejada, and Chris Hogard is the guy doing the book. So it should be interesting to see that. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in here. Appreciate it. And I hope we did some good for the history of El Paso and also for your book. Maybe you'll get some more pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, very interesting.
When you put that together. Thanks again for coming in. We're going to take off here and go to Pepe's, folks. Next week we're going to come back and do this all over again and talk about all kinds of interesting history. What we do is that we do put these radio shows on a podcast that's on ephistory.com. And this one, as soon as I can do it, this one will get out there and get on. And so you can hear this show coming up in the future. But ephistory.com is also where we have what's going on in the radio show business. Well, thank you, everybody, in the control room for what y'all did today. Thank you kindly. And in the meantime, we're going to go to lunch. What do you think?
Pepe.
Again, thank you all and appreciate it. And I'm not sure how to say happy firefighting. No, you can't really say that. Happy fire prevention. How's that?
Sure.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for your service.
Indeed.
You.
See y'all next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
Everyone's invited.